Well, hello, how are you?
Sorry.
Not a problem. I don't, maybe she was wanting my job, I'm not sure.
Well,
I don't know.
That would be great. After you retire, can I ask you a little more?
When Queen Victoria was a child, she wasn't told, wasn't aware that she was in the line for the throne of England. And her instructors were trying to prepare her for the future. She wasn't so keen on being prepared for the future, so she didn't necessarily know what that meant. She didn't take her studies seriously. So finally the teachers gathered and they decided, we need to explain to her what's at stake. We need to explain what her calling is. And so they sat her down and explained to her that she was going to become the Queen of England. Upon hearing that, she just quietly thought, and then she said, then I'd better be good. This quiet little observation. What is interesting is when she became aware of the high calling she had inherited, she, even as a small child, realized that there was a responsibility there. And it profoundly affected her conduct and her studies, and it affected everything about her from that point forward. Do you realize that each of you is a child of the King? If you receive Christ as your Savior, you invited Him into your life, you are a child of God. With that, God has gifted you. He has prepared you. Does that motivate you to respond to the call of God? I mean, think about that just in your own head. When you hear that, I'm a child of God. I've been called of God. I've been given gifts. What are the implications of that? What is the power of that? And what does that mean for you? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, where once again we're going to read verses 4 through 8. Romans 12, verse 4. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, I invite you to do so. It's optional. Romans 12, verse 4. For just as we are many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are the many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in serving, in teaching, in the teaching, in the exhortation. He who gives with liberality, leads with diligence, and shows with mercy, with cheerfulness. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. So, how did we get here? And why does the slide say Romans when we're doing a study on spiritual gifts? Well, in the book of Romans chapter 12, as we've seen, Paul lists a set of seven gifts. And we've decided that we needed to take some time and look at each of those in more depth. So, that's what we're doing now until Advent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the young folks that have been entrusted to us. And we thank you that the people that you called to serve them and teach them and help them come to the end of their resources so that they live lives that trust you. May that be true of us as we live lives of peace and rest in you despite what's going on around us. And so give us wisdom, Lord, in how to trust in you, how to yield to you, how to allow the gift that you have placed in us to motivate and transform in your Spirit through us. In Jesus' name, they all said, How many of you are familiar with the name Ted Engstrom? He's probably passed away. There was a point there. He was sort of the business guru in the United States. Done extensive writing on leadership, management. If you ever find something in a thrift store or something, if you're interested in those topics, really encourage you to grab his stuff. But he tells the story of a literary group at the University of Wisconsin. They were a group of males who decided they wanted to be poets, novelists. They wanted to make an impact as authors. And they had the talent to do so. They had the talent to be successful. And so they decided, they were encouraged by their professors, that you are a unique group of people. You have a unique gift. You need to develop it. You need to challenge yourself with it. So they began to meet on a regular basis, and they would come and they would read their works with one another, and they would critique and evaluate their works. And after a while, they began to call themselves the Stranglers because they were horrible to one another. They would, you know, in essence, almost, you know, sort of a picture of strangling someone as they were being challenged in the choice of words and their writing. Well, there were some very talented female writers also at the University of Wisconsin, and they created their own group. But they ended up calling themselves the Wranglers, because when they read their works out loud, something very different occurred. They were constructive. They were encouraging. They erred on the side of motivation rather than mutilation. So 20 years later, an alumnus decided to study and see what happened to this class of, you know, distance literary wannabes. What is interesting, according to this study, is not a single strangler had made a significant literary contribution. The men were considered the more gifted of the group, but not a single major contribution. Where the women had, at that point, it had six successful authors had grown out of the Wranglers. The difference, harsh critique versus positive evaluation and encouragement. I wonder if there's a lesson there. So, that brings us to our gift of the week, the gift of exhortation out of Romans 12:8, and he who exhorts in their exhortation. So, review. Spiritual gifts are given at spiritual birth. So when someone is born again, at the point of being born spiritually, they are given a spiritual gift. The gift is for the body of Christ. You will exercise that gift, but it's not for you. It's for us. Two, there are three categories or kinds of gifts. The gifts we're focusing on now are the gifts that we saw in Romans 12 in the Greek. They're the charisma gifts. And they are the gifts that are primary and they're motivational. And so there's two subcategories. So when we say you have one primary motivational gift, that's what we're talking about. There's the primary motivation out of Romans 12, where those seven motivational gifts are listed. And they are distinguished by the Greek word charisma. Now, under that, there's two other categories. There's the manifestational gifts of the Spirit, and then there's the ministry roles or job description gifts. So, there's three categories or kinds. We're focusing on the charisma, the primary motivation, which you have one of, point three. Point four, we are all to do all the gifts. So just because you are gifted in one area doesn't mean you don't do all those gifts. We're all to be, you know, serving. We're all to be exhorting. We're all to be teaching. We're all to be exercising all of those gifts. But we will do it out of our primary motivation. So, matter of fact, Rosie's not with us, but she asked last week that if we have the Spirit and we've been given a spiritual gift, aren't we always using that gift the way God wants us to? Short answer, no. So let's go on. Are these? Ava's laughing at me anyway. So, what is the difference? A little theological point I want to make sure we understand. What is the difference between being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit? What is the difference?
We're all indwelt.
When do we become indwelt with the Holy Spirit? That point of salvation, the Holy Spirit fills us. Okay? So you were going to address feeling? Mm-hmm. Explain it to me.
So indwelt is the active, your active.
Yeah. And we'll make you pass it later too.
I feel indwelt is when you are active in the Holy Spirit, living out, motivated by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Filled is the moment of enlightenment, Christ, Holy Spirit come in, and it is that which cannot be taken. So filled is the cannot be taken, but indwelt can be changed when we are not following Christ and we become carnal. That's mm-hmm. how I view the two.
Okay. Paul would use it in Ephesians 5:18. He would say, but be filled, be controlled and empowered, is the usage there. So your understanding is correct. I would flip them. So the indwelling is when you receive Christ, there's the indwelling of the Spirit. And then Paul in Ephesians talks about the filling of the Spirit, and then he also talks about the walk of the Spirit. So the walk and filling are synonymous, would be how those terms are used. But you understand it really clearly, that one is the indwelling, you have it, the other is the walk and the filling in it. Christy made a really good observation this week. He said, but when you fill a cup, you put water in a cup, it's filled. And I went, huh, yeah, you're right. From a human understanding. Okay, so let's take that. There's a cup filled with water. Does it look different? You can't tell, can you? It's indwelt with the water. But you take some crystal light, and you put it in there, and now is active. Now you see it. And that's the filling of the Spirit is active and being manifested in your life. Yeah. So that's a little bit of what? Making sure that we're on the same page, using the words the same way. So, in other words, if you want to use Jennifer's language, that's great, no problem. I'm using it differently. So, at this point, we're going to do what Paul has called us to do in 1 Corinthians 12:31. Earnestly desire the greater charisma, those greater gifts that are primary and motivational. So this week, we'll be focusing on exhortation. And let's look at, let's have a reminder of what those seven primary motivational gifts are. So far we've seen prophecy, we've seen service, we've seen teaching, we're now at exhortation, and then we will be going to next week giving and then leading in mercy. So, does everyone have a handout when you came in? If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. Everyone have a handout? Need a couple on this side. Here they come. Yep. I mean, a couple over here. And I think there's one. Nikane needs one. Is that the only one? Everyone else have a handout? Thank you, Jim. Now, since Jim is the guy who jumps up and went and got something, what gifts is he manifesting? Okay, so probably the spiritual gifts of service. So transitioning back to exhortation. The front of your sheet should be labeled on the top, exhortation. So at this point, let's work through it. Question number one. Do you enjoy speaking more to A, groups, or B, an individual? Two, when teaching or if teaching, what does or would give you more joy? Researching the lesson, or B, being able to counsel others afterwards? Three, if you were serving in an organization that there was conflict caused by one individual, would you focus on A, changing the individual's responsibilities, or B, changing the individual's attitude? Four, are you interested in spiritual growth because A, it can eliminate suffering, or B, it produces maturity? Five, do you enjoy counseling an individual in order to A, help them discern what their practical needs are and how to meet those needs, or B, give steps of action to follow? Six, when speaking, do you receive greater joy in seeing an immediate response or an opportunity to counsel afterwards? Seven, in your giving, are you more concerned with what and where you're giving to, or B, you can be an encouragement to those you're giving to? Eight, in trying to solve relational problems, you usually begin with A, scripture, and relate them to human experience, or with a human experience, relate them to scripture. Nine, in helping a person with a problem, would you be more comfortable in meeting a practical need or B, counseling them? 10, do you enjoy following up a new believer to A, confirm and strengthen the commitment that was made, or B, to encourage spiritual growth? And 11, when seeking help, what's more important to you? That you sense a genuine concern, or that you receive concrete steps in solving your problem? Everybody ready? All right. How many people have 11 B's? Raise your hand. We're 10 B's. 10 B's. 9. Eight, seven, and now we're in the in-between world. So, is the B's that count in this survey? If you had a bunch of A's, sorry, doesn't tell you anything this week. You have to come next week to find out. Or maybe in a previous week you've already have. So, let's define. What is the gift of exhortation? It is the motivation to stimulate the faith of others. You want to motivate, encourage the faith of other brothers and sisters. Now think about this. God, in all this infinite wisdom, says, what do these people need? I need to create a group of people that their primary motivation in life is to stimulate and encourage their brothers and sisters. That seems to be really important. I mean, the service thing makes sense. You got to have people to do stuff. Teaching, you got to have people to teach. You got to have people to be truth tellers. You know, you got to have people who, you know, have the ability to create money and give money away. I mean, that all sort of makes sense. We need administrators, leaders types that can organize. But exhortation, encouragement. Sometimes I think that there's a, people live life as if there's a limited amount of encouragement. There's only so much positive stuff you can say because you're going to run out and there won't be enough left. Have you found that to be true? Yeah. Sometimes I've asked, have you ever been encouraged so much that you just had to say, I'm sorry, just no more, please? Yeah, that's just a laughable idea, isn't it? You know? So, based on how many B's you had, let's look at some of the strengths and the growth areas of those. Now, remember, if you had all A's, stay with us, because this is going to be valuable. You're going to learn how to deal with people who are exhorters, who sometimes can just be too much. Okay? So, flip your sheet over and let's look at the things that exhorters tend to do well. They tend to be practical. They tend to give steps of action to follow. Sort of be bottom line folks. What's the application? You know, how do we get this right? Three, they see the challenges of life and how God uses those challenges of life in their life and in others. Four, they're sensitive to reading people. Now, you remember five rules of communication. Number one is no mind reading. Number two, no mind reading. Exhorters like to read minds. They tend to read people. They tend to read crowds. Okay? So, exhorters, you may be good at it, but you don't trust it. You verify. Being able to anticipate or read a situation, all that means is you have more insight from God to ask a good question to clarify. You don't assume. So, matter of fact, let's finish those just for reminder purposes. No mind reading, no mind reading. And the new one is? Pardon me? Do not get defensive. No defensiveness. Good I statements, heart-to-heart communication. That's free. That wasn't in my notes. So, you're supposed to laugh at that, but I'll exhort you to. Now, so number five, may be able to draw insights from human experience that are later validated and amplified by in Scripture. Rejoices with those who follow steps that produce growth. Grieves over those who do not do what they need to be doing to solve life's problems. Usually, is a person who delights in growth. And so if you have a lot of those things about you, part of the downside of that is the challenges or potential problems is pride, overconfidence. Two, can become discouraged when there's a lack of progress. Three, may use that ability to motivate people for selfish gain. May get focused on those who only want temporary relief. May be disinterested in systems of thought that lack practical application. And the focus on steps of action may appear to overly simplify a problem. May be quick to prescribe a solution before they gather all the data. May be so focused on growth of the body that they lack concern for the loss. Personal application may appear out of context. The emphasis on a course of action may appear to disregard the feelings and the emotions of the person being counseled. So an exhorter needs to be a person of patience. When progress is slow, exhortation is someone who is called to be a prayer, because you see what needs to happen and you can pray to that end. So, as human beings, we take what God gives us and then we create problems with them. Our egocentrism drives how we see the world, how we see church, how we see one another. If everyone doesn't have the same priorities that I have, what's wrong with them? Probably there isn't anything wrong with them. They just have a different set of spiritual gifts. They see the world different. So, the purpose of our conversation here, the reality is some of you will have your gifts figured out at the end of our 7 weeks. A lot of you won't. But if you come away with the understanding that we're different people and our spiritual gifts drive how we see the world, and we are more patient and kind with one another, we will have fulfilled Ephesians 4:13 of attaining the unity of the faith. So, with the unity and realization that we are all to be serving in all the spiritual gifts, just because you had all A's doesn't let you off the hook. You still have to be an encouragement. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one. There's that word, you see, exhortation, encouraging one another, and all the more that you see the day drawing near. As Jesus' day is drawing near, as we're anticipating Jesus' return, we are stimulating, encouraging one another to be more like Jesus. So we are called by God and expected by God to be together, confessing the truth to one another, loving one another, helping each other become more like Jesus. And if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit, you have the ability to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit and go beyond your human ability to be an encourager, to choose words that are positive. We see this even in Jesus. Jesus was about obviously loving and encouraging those around him. He was about telling the truth to those around him. We see this in Mark chapter 5, verse 28. A woman who had been sick for 12 years, seen a lot of doctors with only frustration to show for it. She's discouraged. But she heard about Jesus, and she thought to herself, verse 28, chapter Mark reads, for she thought, if I just touch his garment, I will get well. And immediately the flow of blood that was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garment? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you? And you say, who touched me? And he looked around and he saw the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. God incarnate walking the streets. A woman touches the hem of his garment, and she is healed. The disciples are, what, Jesus? No, someone touched me. Yeah, a whole crowd. No, someone specifically touched me. What does Jesus say to her? And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. You see that? He didn't stop and say, hey, I am so full. You touch my garment, you get better. You just are in my presence, and it does its stuff. I mean, God would have a right to point to himself, right? But that's not what he says. That's not what he does. He points to her daughter. Beloved, good job. I find that amazing. Jesus chose for a woman who has struggled words of encouragement. This is core. We are all called to encourage one another. Your encouragement will just flow out of different motivations. If you're a gift of service, you want to come along and serve this person and they need a word of encouragement. And you give them what they need. Truth tellers. Ha, I see this. It's what we do. And so as we come alongside one another, we learn how to interact. We learn how our gifts touch one another. We learn how our gifts keep us connected, keep us balanced. So you exhorters out there, may your tribe increase. The reality that despite all the supposed political correctness, there's amazing amounts of negativity and criticism. If we make an error, may it be in the seeing the good, in speaking the good, in catching people doing well and telling them so. Particularly our kids. Particularly our parents. We could all use a word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Bosses. You ever go to work and say, I need to encourage my boss? Yeah. You know, bosses are people too, right? Oh, Lord, we have so much work to do. Hopefully you received some information about who you are, what motivates you. If not, maybe we've already touched on your gift. We still have 3 more weeks to go. What I'd like you to see now is how these gifts oftentimes fit together. So, you're at a birthday party, and somebody drops the birthday cake. How would the spiritual gifts we've seen so far, how would they respond to that? Well, we love the prophet. So what's the prophet going to say? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it will come. Yeah, but you're right. You know, the prophet is going to explain how we could have avoided that. The server, which we'll get to in a moment. Yeah. We're switching between PowerPoint slides. And obviously our tech isn't cooperating. There we go. There we go. The prophet. That's what happens when you're not careful. You nailed it, didn't you, Judah? Yeah. Motivation to make correction. The gift of service. Oh, let me help you clean that up. But there again, to fulfill a need. The teacher. They're going to say, let me research this and think about this. It fell because the paper between the cake and the tray were made slippery. So we need to understand why this happened and how to keep it from happening again. That may have been in detail too. And of course, the exhorter, next time, let's not use paper in between the cake and the tray. Yeah. Now, in church, if we were to start a church or, you know, put a group and begin to lay a foundation for a community, well, the seven individuals represented will, in essence, have this set of emphasis. We're only going to look at four today, but by 3 weeks we'll have all seven. And so the prophet, well-prepared sermons exposing sin. Got to expose sin. This prophet, so much fun to be around. But also proclaiming righteousness and warning of judgment. For the person with the gift of service, they want to make sure that the church is making practical assistance to each member of the church to encourage them and help them fulfill their responsibilities. Versus the teacher, in-depth Bible studies with special emphasis on the precise meaning of words, details in the researching of the truth. And of course, the exhorter, he wants to see that there's personal counseling and encouragement for each member to assist them in applying scripture principles in their daily life. See, that's all nice in theory, but the problem is when we begin to rub shoulders with each other, how do we think about one another? What are our values? How do we think about one another? How do our spiritual gifts affect the perception? Well, to the prophet, does their character match their words? To the servant, does she show genuine appreciation? To the teacher, is he accurate in his facts? And the exhorter, has they followed through on the steps of action that I have suggested? Each of us is called to exercise our gifts for the perfecting of the body. That's what we're called to. So, how have you seen this worked out in your life? How have you seen your spiritual gifts manifested? We're about halfway through this journey. Any of you have any examples of that and what that means? Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jennifer, for volunteering. Is what I'm sharing with you fitting your experience, the reality, what you see in Scripture? How have you seen your spiritual gift motivate you and move you to action? Yeah.
That's next week. You want me to wait or do it now?
Yeah, Ron's elder for next week. And so why don't we save you for next week? Yeah. Or maybe to start with a simpler question. What is the gift of exhortation? Pardon me? Encourage. To stimulate the faith to others into action. Right? So, is there enough encouragement in the world? Can you encourage the wrong thing?
Yes.
How so? Pardon me?
If you're encouraging something that God would not approve of, then that would not be good encouragement. Mm-hmm. You're saying, hey, let's go rob a bank. Probably not the kind of encouragement you should be giving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you know, the church needs a new multi-purpose room, and, you know, it'd be God's calling. I used to be a bank robber in a previous life, and so that's how I'll serve.
The world focuses on self.
Yeah, the world focuses on self. Yeah. So, how do you tell the difference? How do you know when you're encouraging the wrong thing versus the right thing? Well, pardon me?
Check it out with God's word.
Check it out with God's word. Yeah. That submission. You know.
Motivation.
Yeah, motivation. What's your motivation? Yeah. Yeah. You ever hear someone say, I have to get this off my chest? Do they have your best interest at that point? No. I have a problem. I need it. Well, no. Lord, what are you calling me to? Okay, Lord, there's a problem here. Lord, what would you have me do with this? Okay, Lord, I need for their benefit, for their well-being, I need to talk to them. Right? Isn't that the way it ought to be? If you're hurt, you know, if someone's not having a clean transaction with you, you get to ask for that. But is that just for you or is it for them too? Yeah, for them too. I'm hurt and I need to get my pound of flesh. Or I'm hurt, but I can help you be, you know, in dealing with me, I can help you be more effective in that. Maybe that helps you deal with other people more effectively. Right? Are you called to have an impact on the world? So how do you do that? What are you doing to have an impact on the world? Pointing people to the Savior? Yes, Jennifer.
Okay, so here's where one of my questions comes in. As a teacher by vocation and a teacher by gift, trying to figure out between exhortation and prophecy when it comes to those seventh graders causing trouble. Is that the place of prophecy in calling them out in that wrong behavior? Or is that exhortation and you're doing X to disrupt the class and this is where my expectations are?
So, spiritual gift of teaching. You research and present truth. You have a troublemaker. Do you tell them the truth, or you exhort them to better behavior? Exhort better behavior, says the exhorter.
You do.
Pardon
both.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But how do you know which one? Yeah. Which order? Which one? What to do with what child?
Okay, so my gift is prophecy. So I would exhort them to what the standard is. What is whatever that is in the rules and the. Because the application here is a school,
mm-hmm.
and then help them to understand how do they now conform to that
mm-hmm.
in the context of the classroom.
Yeah,
but first they need to acknowledge that they did something.
Now here we see spiritual gifts in conflict. Wasn't I just telling you about that a minute ago?
I didn't think it was conflict.
Okay. Hey. Let me give you.
Now you're causing problems.
Yeah. Yeah, now I'm creating a problem. Ava.
Behaviors are always telling us something. So we have to look past the behavior and figure out what's the root behind it. Because if we sometimes just look at the behavior, we're going to either tell the truth at the wrong time, or we're going to exhort at the wrong time, or we're going to correct at the wrong time, whatever, encourage at the wrong time. So going deeper and trying to understand the why behind the behavior, I think, is essential.
All of that is good and right. Let me do what his orders do and overly simplify. Lord, what does this child need? How do I respond to this child? You see, just because you have a natural predisposition doesn't mean you get to be controlled by it. Lord, what does this child need? So the reality is you have a class full of them. One of them is going to need to be kicked in the tail and the other needs to be loved. Which one is which? Paul, did you have your hand up?
Well, you said what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have to ask the spirit what, how to do it.
Amen. Amen. Ryan?
So with an exhorter, I'm just looking at your list of what can peeve people off about them. And I have a brother, I think, that's an exhorter.
Sorry. And it's such a difficult life.
No, but he oversimplifies things, and it really annoys me. So what? Like, he's like, well, just do this. Uh-huh. And it's like, well, that, just doing that, like, in theory, yes, that's great, but that's not practical.
Yeah, if you actually understood what I have been dealing with in the breadth and the depth.
So,
yeah.
So I think it's helped me to realize, like, I think your list of, like, the negatives, which for me has been good, to see why do I get frustrated with different people mm-hmm. when they're trying to use their gift in a certain way. But then you still haven't, I think, called mine out, so I literally have no idea what mine is.
But we have three more.
I can't.
Or you are just so broad in breadth and your skills are so good that it's going to be hard for you to figure yours out. Now, you just missed his wife doing truth-telling.
Yeah.
That's not my
truth. It's all right. So here's a practical question. With an exhorter that's oversimplifying and over, how can we communicate to them to help them, encourage them to use their gift, but do it in a way that's effective for us?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I'm not trying to bring it back to self, but I'm like, that person obviously has a gift, and they're out of the spirit trying to do that, but they can do it sometimes in such a way that it just comes across as
condescending.
Mitigating, condescending. How mm-hmm. do we help them say, I appreciate where your heart is, maybe so and so and so? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about a brother who understands.
It's not a brother, but just in general.
Okay, just in general. Sometimes you have to just say, you know what, I don't think you fully understand. You know, you see, I don't know if you notice this, that people tend to be a lot alike. And you can have a presentation, if you will, of a set of criteria. And as human beings, we want to jump to the conclusion that they're just like everybody else. That situation is just like. But we don't get to do that to one another. Just because you present with a common set of criteria, problems, scenario, just because it's normal, doesn't mean you're seeing truth in that individual. So something, I'm sorry, I just don't think you actually have heard me and have heard all that I perceive this to be. Sometimes you have to remind an exhorter, you need to listen more before you prescribe. You know, and sometimes a good I statement. I'm not feeling heard. I'm feeling this has been overly simplified. You know, or even asking, okay, you define this problem, and see if I agree with your definition of what I perceive the problem to be. I don't know that. Yeah, gathering more data.
Dan.
Yes, sir. Ma'am.
Many times when I want to just talk to people, I usually will say, I don't want you to fix me. I don't want you to give me a lot of advice. I just need to be heard. I need to say this out loud so I can hear what it sounds like, because what's going on in my head is not right. And I don't want you to fix me. Just need someone to listen and hear my heart and then give me direction, but not overly advise and make it simplified, because I don't need you to fix me. I need you to understand me first.
Mm.
And
excellent wisdom. Yeah. We give the gift of understanding before we try to fix. If you're in a disorder, do the work before you do the prescription. And matter of fact, it's all of us. I mean, that's sort of a male thing. Honey, I'm having trouble with. No problem, I got to fix. I didn't need you to fix it. I just needed to be heard. Children. Can you do too much for your children? Yeah. We need them to exercise, come along. Yeah. You see, you have predispositions. You have a predisposition. We don't get to be controlled by our predispositions. We have to be controlled by the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you that they long to do this right. They long to be what you want them to be and to see you lifted up and glorified. But sometimes, Lord, we just get caught up in who we are. Set us free from who we are to be a reflection of who you are. In Jesus' glorious name. They all said...
Well, we've got one more for you. I'd like to invite you, if you feel led, please stand and please help us sing here.
Thank you, Cora. Daniel, thank you, sir. Owen, appreciate you. Thank you. Hey, just out of curiosity, does it ever get old that I thank you every week? I do appreciate